Life is Hard. The author M. Scott Peck, in his best-selling books, one of the longest bestsellers on the New York Times list, The Road Less Traveled, says that in the foreword, life is hard. His point was that if we realize that fact, that life is hard, then we can start working on ourselves to be able to function more effectively in life, instead of being traumatized or shocked or disappointed or going to despair because life is hard. Everybody on this call knows times when life was easy and knows times when life was or is hard. So what do we do in these different times? We modulate our energies. That's what we do. Modulate sounds like a fancy, complicated word, but it's not. It really isn't. You modulate your energy when you drive a car or ride a bicycle or do anything else. Let's look at driving a car. But first, here's the one definition of modulate. Modulate is to exert a modifying or controlling influence on. So when you're in a car, you push your foot against the gas pedal to influence the speed of the car. Sometimes you're going to use the brake pedal by pressing against it with your foot to control the speed of the car, to reduce it. You use the steering wheel to modify or control the direction of the car. You are modulating your energy in order to control the environment around you. We all do this, and we do it all the time. Most men on this call would have heard a joke about golf that goes like this. It's about the gorilla who could hit the golf ball 300 yards and hit it straight each time. On the first tee, the gorilla hit the ball 300 yards down the middle of the fairway, impressed everybody else with that shot, and it rolled onto the green. So now the gorilla's got a 10-foot putt to make the birdie, or in this case, it would have been an eagle. And so he stands up over the ball, and he hits the ball 300 yards. Get it? He couldn't modulate his energy. He responded to every situation in the same way, with the same amount of energy, and he produced the same result. He hit the ball 300 yards. People on this call are familiar with real gorillas in life who respond to their own inadequacies with violence and abuse to others, especially women. Not knowing how to modulate our energy when we're down in the dumps or when we've got the grumps causes a lot of suffering for us and for other people. And this is the subject of this talk. Modulating our energy. What to do when we're down in the dumps or we have the grumps. Imagine a seesaw. Got an image? Imagine that everything that we interact with at any moment, in any time, is on the other end of the seesaw from us. Not all at once, just what we're thinking about now is what's on the other end of the seesaw. Right now, you're on one end of the seesaw, and me and what I'm talking about are on the other end of the seesaw. You do want to playfully stay in balance so that you can understand what I'm talking about. And if you can stay more or less in balance, you'll be able to understand what I'm saying, and then you'll be able to use it or discard it after you review it as you see fit. But if you can't stay balanced, you will have to block what I'm saying. You will not hear it accurately, you're not going to understand it fully, and you'll do this just to protect yourself, because if you're uncertain, you're going to view this as a possible threat, these ideas. You will have to close your mind in order to keep yourself safe. That's a natural, instinctive reaction. We interact with people, things, energy, space, time, and we do it because it's fun, and we do it because it's interesting. Variety is important to us. We wouldn't play on a seesaw that didn't move. If it was fixed and you sat on one end and something or someone else sat on the other and it didn't move at all, that would be so boring, we wouldn't last a minute. We would be like, this is no fun, I'm leaving this. So what's on the other end of the seesaw from you and from me? Demands. Demands are on the other end of the seesaw. Things we want to do, things we have to do. our own expectations, the expectations of others, job requirements, things we must not do. Our goals are on the other end. Our desires are on the other end. Our fears are on the other end. And it goes on and on. Those are the other things on the other end of the seesaw, in which we're trying to stay in balance with as we modulate our energy in relationship to those things. If you went to your end of the seesaw and sat on it, and then you noticed that the other end was a 1,000-pound object, you'd go, whoa, wait a minute. That's going to be too heavy for me to handle. I can't move that energy. That's going to be too difficult of a job for me. At some point, you're likely to arrive at one or more of these conclusions in your decision-making process. The first thing a lot of people do is they get angry at that object or that situation. It really frustrates them. They start to recruit all kinds of energy into their bodies in an effort to deal with this. That's basically the fight reaction. Other people are going to immediately walk away discouraged and disappointed, you know, a feeling of despair or hopelessness. They're going to be depressed. That's basically the flight reaction. Getting angry is a very common strategy to modulate our energy. We get grumpy because it feels like we can become stronger, safer, more powerful. In other words, we feel as though we have more energy. This is where violence and abuse of someone, weaker or smaller, comes from. This use of anger to modulate our energies. Walking away discouraged is to have our energy level depressed, pushed down by that demand that we're perceiving. We would be down in the dumps, and this is not the best place to be either. The third choice in a situation like this is to realize that we need more energy. Maybe we could ask for help from family, friends, associates. Maybe we could ask for help from the God of our knowing to give us energy, give us awareness, give us strength, give us ideas, give us knowledge that would help us to modulate our energy to get back into balance with respect to the demand on the other end of the seesaw. The difference between this scenario of us and the 1,000-pound object is that the weight of the demand on the other end in our lives is determined by us. It is our perception that makes the demand heavier or lighter, more overwhelming or more fun. That perception is ours. On the seesaw of our life, our control really resides in our perception of our energy levels, our capabilities, and our perception of other people and things. Bruce Lipton, in his book Biology of Belief, talks about perceptions as the key to health and as the key to illness. Perceptions control our lives. So how do we modulate our energy? How can we feel more resourceful and capable when we don't feel either resourceful or capable? Here's how. We change what we are thinking. We change what we are feeling. We change what we are saying. And we change what we are doing. Have you ever heard this statement? A problem well defined is a problem half solved. Every problem that we have is a demand. I like this definition of stress from Hans Selye. It is stress is the nonspecific response to a demand placed upon the body. So what are the demands that are putting you or me into the dumps or into the grumps? Make a list of what is pulling us, pushing us, weighing us down, or upsetting us. That's a good idea. Bringing clarity to a cloud of demands is a huge step in modulating our energy and regaining a personal sense of effectiveness. This is a specific response. Making a list is a specific response. Do you remember being afraid of the dark as a child? We are afraid of the unknown. That's a good thing. That's a survival instinct. It kept us from walking into a dark cave and becoming a menu item for some beastie that was living in the cave. So being afraid of the dark, being afraid of the unknown, was a good idea. But today, making the unknown known is what will reduce our fear, and that is a good thing. Making a list of the demands that we're experiencing makes the unknown known. I think I just heard somebody's thought, and it was this. I have so many demands, I don't know where to begin. Was that your thought? I heard it. Anyway, so try this. Write out this list and see which areas contain the most pressure, the most demands for you. You can look at them. You can write this down if you're so inclined. I'm going to run through these quickly. You can look through the area of your life that I refer to as the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the family, the career, the financial, the social, the leisure, the community, the political area, and the maintenance area. I refer to them as the 12 worlds. So one demand can actually impact more than one of these areas. So if you look at those 12 worlds, you're going to recognize that maybe one or two will be much more urgent than the others. And you may notice that some are not even important at all to you. And that's okay. Put any one of those demands on the other end of the seesaw and ask yourself two questions. What energies do I need to add to me? I'll repeat this so you can write it down if you're so inclined. What energies do I need to add to me in order to be equal and balanced with the demand on the other end? That is, what energies do I need in order to be able to respond effectively? And the second question is, what energies can I subtract from the demand on the other end to make it less overwhelming? What energies can I subtract from the demand on the other end to make it less overwhelming? The second question was, what energies can I subtract from the demand on the other end to make it less overwhelming? Because it is our perception of that demand that made it overwhelming in the first place. Here is what we can do now to make ourselves feel better. Some fundamental things. Drink water. No, I'm not kidding. Lots of symptoms of dehydration are misinterpreted as tiredness, hunger, irritability, acid indigestion, and constipation, just to name a few. So if you've got those things going on, you'd go, wow, just drinking water? Plenty of good water would help alleviate that? Yep, most people will notice that. The second thing is breathe. Ever hear this advice when you're starting to get upset about something? You're starting to become imbalanced? Take a deep breath. Take 10 deep breaths. Count to 10. When our cells don't get enough oxygen, they feel like they're suffocating. I have news for you. We can get very frightened when the cells of our bodies start suffocating. You probably already know that research has shown since 1931 that cancer cells only grow in low oxygen, low electricity, low pH environments in the body. Here's something that can be confusing. What should we do when we feel tired and our energy level seems to go really low? Let's go back to the image of the seesaw. We're there, my energy level is low. What are our choices? Well, you know this is marketed, right? Number one, eat a Snickers or some other high fructose corn syrup product. Jam that in your mouth. That's the solution to the problem. Or drink something with caffeine, like a cup of Starbucks or Red Bull or some other product like that. Or a lot of people start to resort to this symptom of low energy with going outside and smoking a cigarette. Others will want to take a nap to conserve energy and to recharge their batteries. And then the fifth option is to exercise in some way to get more energy moving, to prime the pump, so to speak, so that we can acquire more energy. If you think about this situation of low energy for like 1 minute, you're going to know if the cause of your tiredness is lack of sleep or lack of effective movement of your own energy. It's exhausting to be unproductive. Working all day and feeling productive is energizing. Those people tend not to get tired. Working all day and feeling like you didn't do anything of value for yourself or anybody else is very draining, and tiredness is likely to be the result of that. People who feel that they're not responding effectively to demands that they're being pressured by are the ones most subject to being overweight, being ill, being frustrated, and being unhappy. Why? Because when we don't respond specifically, we're not initiating the healthy energy flows that our bodies and our minds and our hearts are seeking. Think about this idea after the call. Unhappiness is due to us not modulating our energies effectively. It's not about other people. Our unhappiness is not about other people, but it's due to us not modulating our energies effectively. Worse yet, people who don't respond effectively or feel they don't respond effectively are more likely to fall prey to marketing of substances as the solution to their energy problems. Right? Sugar, caffeine, prescription drugs, alcohol, recreational drugs, tobacco and nicotine, pornography, workaholism, shopaholism, TV watching to extremes, eating to extremes are all heavily marketed to us as being the solution to our energy problem. I say people steal, lie, and kill to take other people's energies. You can look at the newspapers or listen to the news if you have any doubts about that. A lot of human behavior is devoted to these three activities. The energy that we need, though, is not out there. It is within us. The energy we need to get out of the dumps or the grumps is not a substance. It's an unseen energy. The solution to our perception that we don't have enough energy is to turn to the source of all energy and ask for an awareness so our perception abilities improve. We are changing our beliefs. That openness, as we change our beliefs, gives us access to the energy we're looking for. Here are my opinions. The solution to a physical problem is not physical. The treatment of a physical problem, the treatment, can be physical, but you have to be aware of the dangers of treatment. The solution to an emotional problem is not emotional. The treatment of an emotional problem can be emotional, but you have to be aware of the downsides of treatment. And the same is true of a mental problem. If we can allow ourselves to access the unseen spiritual source of all things, including the source of ourselves, our own being, we will be connecting to the great modulating force that can bring us back into balance, back into sanity, back into kindness, back into health, back into happiness, back into civility and success. If we work on us, life is not quite so hard. There are certain examples of some of these ideas that we take in order to modulate our energy. Besides breathing and drinking water and eating and sleeping, moving the body is a great one, right? Moving the body. This facilitates that energy flow. It helps us get back into balance, helps us be grounded, helps us to eliminate static, helps things to come back into perspective. And that exercising, that moving the body can be rigorous exercise. It could be dancing, could be working out, it could be a simple walking, could be stretching. One of the things that people misinterpret about exercising is they think they're using up energy when they go exercise. That's not exactly true. They're gaining energy. People at the end of the day who are tired from a day of, I'll say, modest productivity, go to the gym and get energized by that activity. So it's like, wow, you used a lot of energy in the gym. No, actually, I gained a lot of energy at the gym. Like, oh, so this is really energy acquisition rather than energy expenditure. Yes, it is. The way we talk to ourselves is huge. Our negative self-talk can be really deflating. And as we're doing that, we are depressing our energy even greater. But if you recognize that there are other options to this, and one story that I think is interesting is a famous speaker. You might have heard of him if you're old enough, Norman Vincent Peale. He was a minister, and he wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. What he used to do before going out on the pulpit to give Sunday sermons, or and he used to do this before he gave public talks in other settings, is give himself a pep talk. He would stand back by himself in a quiet space and jump up and down repeating, I love my audience, I love my audience, I love my audience, I love my audience. In order to rev up his energy, in order to modulate his energy, bring it up to a higher vibration, and then from that place of a higher vibration, all charged up, is when he would start delivering his sermon or his talk. He was a fantastic, fantastic speaker. I used to go into New York City to listen to and see him in Marble Collegiate Church, and he was beyond fantastic. So knowing he did that, in order to overcome a tremendous shyness, was really reassuring. His wife talked about that in a book she wrote about him. He had tremendous shyness, tremendous insecurities, but he would rev himself up. He would modulate his energy in order to get himself to perform at a higher level of effectiveness. We can do the same thing. Our choice of diet, I'm not talking about food, I'm talking about what we think, what we watch, what we read. And if you're watching the 6 o'clock news, I'm telling you right now, you're taking in toxins that are affecting your energy in not a negative way. Watch 6 o'clock news. Before you do, assess 0 to 10, 10 being most, your level of anger, and then, or ineffectiveness, or depression, or any other negative emotion. And at the end of the 6 o'clock news, assess again how you feel. Do you feel better about human beings? Do you feel better about you? Do you feel more effective? Are you in love with yourself and other people to a greater extent before or after watching the 6 o'clock news? I know people that want to be positive thinkers, and they turn around and watch or read Stephen King. Stephen King is a very successful writer, but basically writing about horror, scary stuff, stuff that makes us afraid of the unknown. And a lot of his things seem to have that as a theme. Do we need that? I don't think so. Does that make you more secure, more open, more loving? Or does it make you more defensive, more protected? Does it keep you shutting down? I think that's more likely to be the case. Other ways we can modulate our energy is by writing, journaling, scheduling, keeping a diary, to be able to bring things back into perspective, to find out how you think or how you feel, or to put important to-dos, demands, onto your schedule. Simply making a to-do list and keeping it available for you to see is a valuable exercise in increasing specificity. For some people, they recognize the great value of communing with nature. Whether you're walking on the beach or in the water or going to a park or gardening or just admiring birds or plants or anything, clouds for that matter, can bring you back into balance really quickly. A lot of us do hobbies for this particular purpose. And obviously, praying, doing the healing codes, meditating are all ways to get back into balance when we have picked up a demand that might seem overwhelming at first glance, when what's on the other end of the seesaw seems daunting to us. We will want to regroup, see if there are other viewpoints, other ideas available to us so that we can recognize that. we can modulate our energies effectively. That's the name of the game. Controlling the way we modulate energies, becoming better at managing matter, energy, space, and time is what will deliver happiness to us, not controlling other people. Because we're going to find out, if we don't already know this, that they're basically uncontrollable. Other people want freedom. They want to maybe control us, but they would be a lot happier if they would work on controlling themselves and how they modulate their energy instead of how they would have us be modulated. If we took self-control as our highest priority and recognized our connection to the source of our being, our creator, the God of our knowing, we're going to be connected to the great modulating force in our lives. We have this available to us. All we have to do is recognize this as our goal, as the way to get out of the dumps or to get out of the grumps. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of a prayer from Letter 8 from the book Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we're sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.